ourselves. We can gain our prosperity here in this world ourselves, but when it comes to the hereafter, when it comes to paradise and hell, that's when we need the Ahlul Bayt. Otherwise, if we want prosperity in this life, if we want to have good families, if we want to live comfortable lives, if we want to have clean societies, if we want to have just societies, if we want to have prosperous societies, we don't need the Ahlul Bayt. We'll get that on our own without even looking towards the Ahlul Bayt and seeing what they have for us. No, we do that ourselves. What is the salvation that they can give us? What is this great blessing? It is for the hereafter. No, this is not correct. It's this world and the hereafter because God has created this world and the hereafter such that the hereafter is a reflection of this world. The hereafter is the manifestation of your actions, your deeds, your conduct, your behavior, your communities. The manifestation of that is going to be in the hereafter. Okay. So if it's good here, it's good in the hereafter. If it's bad here, it's bad in the hereafter as well. Well, that's something that we talked about. What we want to talk about today, developing that, and I hope at least some of us take some of this stuff serious. It's very important that every individual within our communities takes this material very important. These are very practical issues if we build up all the way to the conclusion. And our communities and mankind in at large, human society, is in need of these discussions, in need of developing this understanding and using it in building their future. We're living in a world that is filled with problems, plenty of them. We can't escape them. Mankind has been struggling. There's a lot of claims of being able to relieve mankind of their problems. Every ideology that comes forth gives that promise to the people that adhere to it, that if you follow this path, it will bring you prosperity. If you follow liberal democracy, it will bring your society prosperity. If you follow socialism, if you become socialists, if you implement the teachings of Karl Marx, then you're going to be reaching prosperity. Any ideology that comes forth claims that they're going to be able to resolve the problems of humanity in this world. Islam says we can resolve your problems. The Ahlul Bayt say we have the solution for your problems. Not just in the hereafter, but in this world. They work hand in hand. Your behavior is going to affect this life here and the hereafter. If believers learn this and they try to implement it, we start working towards implementing these teachings, we can change the way things are today. And believers should be working towards that, as their imam is working towards that. When you say, this is the connection of our discussions to something that's a bit more maybe tangible or understandable by us. If we say that the imam of our time is going to establish the global government of justice, something that's going to be taking and encompassing the entire globe and bringing prosperity to everyone, this is not going to happen by the imam suddenly moving a magic wand and everything happening. For him to say a dhikr and then suddenly things happening. If that dhikr was supposed to happen, it would have happened by the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet would have done it and relieved everyone of all the difficulties that they're facing right now. Amir al-Mu'mineen would have done that. Imam al-Hussein would have done it. Why does Imam al-Hussein have to get killed? If it's about saying a dhikr, everything changing, that should have happened at that time. Why have Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib killed in that way? Why have Ali ibn Abi Talib in the mosque killed in that way? If it's about saying that dhikr, Ali ibn Abi Talib is Ismullah al-A'zam himself. Say it, done. Relieve all of us. Why are you facing these troubles and difficulties today? It's because human beings have to progress. They have to develop. They have to want this and not just want it, actually move towards establishing it. And the first step to all of that is a correct understanding. We don't have a correct understanding. We're moving in the wrong direction. And it's never going to happen. We think the solution is capitalism. The solution is this. The solution is that. We move towards it. We see it's a mirage. Okay, you get to the end of it after a century. After a few decades, you realize, no, this is not the solution. Islam has said 1400 years ago, we have to develop our understanding towards this. Islam has the solution, not just for the hereafter, for this world right here. The path of the Ahlul Bayt gives you prosperity in this world and in the hereafter. That's what that means. So it's going to get, or it should get, we've got to make this ideology practical. So what does this actually mean? What does this actually mean? The first thing that I want to state a little more clear than before is to focus on this idea that this prosperity isn't coming to me as an individual only. Or worded differently, I'm not looking towards my prosperity as an individual alone. The Ahlul Bayt's path to prosperity doesn't give a recipe for a person as an individual only to reach prosperity. There is no recipe for that according to the Ahlul Bayt. There is no way of achieving that. According to the path of the Ahlul Bayt, you don't have a method, a path, a recipe that's going to get you to prosperity as you and your family only. Okay? I don't care about anyone else. I don't care about the rest of the world. I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care about the country I live in. I don't care about anything else. I only care about my prosperity. The Ahlul Bayt teaches that you don't have a path for that. I'm sorry. You can't reach your prosperity without the rest of it. It's a full package that comes together. Okay? So it's your prosperity, your family's prosperity, and everyone else's prosperity. If you want your prosperity, you have to be looking at social prosperity as well. You have to. There's no way out of it. You can't be negligent. You can't be heedless of the society you live in. The path of the Ahlul Bayt teaches us that. If you are negligent of your social responsibilities, if you're not taking steps towards social prosperity, towards your society reaching prosperity, then you're not going to reach prosperity, at least in the full definition of the word. You take a few steps, but that's not the full definition of prosperity. So prosperity is one package. Not only, as we said in the previous session, the prosperity in this world and in the hereafter are inseparable, that you can't separate them. There's no way to have actual prosperity in this world and not have it in the hereafter, or to have it in the hereafter without having it in this world, something that only happens in the hereafter. You can't have that. They're inseparable. That was something that was said yesterday. What we're saying today is that besides that, right here in this world, and in the hereafter, as individuals only, we can't reach it. If I'm only worried about myself, if I am negligent about my family, about my relatives, and about my society, I'm not going to be able to reach that prosperity. Also, if I care about my family, but that's about it, I don't care about anyone else, again, you're not going to reach that prosperity. It's a full package that comes together. This world, the hereafter, my prosperity, my family's prosperity, my relatives, my neighbors, the society I live in, and in fact, all people globally, all of that is one package that you work towards. Okay. This is another teaching that we have from and about the path of the Ahlul Bayt. Moving on, when we say that the Ahlul Bayt's path is the only path that is going to give you prosperity in this world and the hereafter, what exactly are you trying to tell us? One of the understandings that can come from that is that, okay, you're going to go to the Ahlul Bayt, you're going to go to the Quran, and ask the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt how to develop technologies. You're going to go to the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt about what my house is going to be looking like We're going to go to the Quran and Hadith and ask how we're going to have and run a bank, for example. One understanding could be this. Okay, so the Quran is supposed to be telling me how to fix my car. The Quran is supposed to be telling me how to build a car, how to design a car. The Quran is going to be telling me all of this. Conclusion, I look at the Quran, none of that's there. Okay, then practically the Ahlul Bayt are saying you need to ride animals, forget cars. Let's go back to the prophetic time. Okay, that's the conclusion. The Quran doesn't tell me anything beyond ships. The best you get in the Quran is a ship. Okay. Fulk. You have the ship in the Holy Quran mentioned. So that's the best you get. The means of transportation, man-made. You don't have any of that. You just have animals. Is this what the Quran is supposed to be giving us? When we say the path of the Ahlul Bayt is such, is this what we mean by it? And if not, what exactly do we mean by it? Recite the salawat, please. When you look at the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt's words, the path of the Ahlul Bayt, we see that one basic understanding, we just went over in the tafsir class as well, very basic understanding, but very important understanding. And people get this wrong. People get this very wrong. Some of the ulama have explained this very well, and I'll try to present one of their explanations. It's not the only explanation, but it's one of them, and it sort of is a little easier to put together. Recite a salawat, please. We start with the Quran and Hadith, and then giving the explanation of the scholars. In the Quran, the Word of God, in Revelation, we have a number of times that when God addresses mankind, He says something, then He says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you use your intellect? Aren't you using your intellect? In other words, what's going on? Why aren't you using that God-given mind of yours? Sometimes it says, أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Why aren't you thinking? Okay. This is the Quran. There's a number of verses that we have on that. In Hadith, a little more clear, or stated a little more clearly, you have two Rasuls. You have two messengers, two different types of messengers. One set of messengers are external messengers, other human beings that have come to you, and they're telling you what God has said, revelation, wahy. Okay. This is an external messenger. But you also have an internal messenger. You have your aql, your intellect. All right? You have your intellect. The intellect is a messenger of God. That's what the hadith is telling you. What your intellect tells you is a message from God. God is providing you haqq, the truth, the reality. One source of that truth is an external prophet, wahy, coming to this prophet, as some call it in English, divine inspiration. This prophet tells you certain truths. Your aql is also a messenger from God. It's God-given, and what it tells you are truths. Okay, so you have an internal messenger as well. Sometimes when people say the path of the Ahlul Bayt, they say that you listen to whatever the Ahlul Bayt say. If you don't find something in the words of the Ahlul Bayt, then it's not right. Recite a salawat, please. It's not right. It's not acceptable. You tell people, brothers and sisters, This is the time that we need to rise. We need to join hands. We need to attend this protest. We need to go downtown, join the other believers globally, standing up against injustice in Palestine as a symbol of oppression. And you're standing up against the source of oppression. We need to do this. Brothers and sisters, some ask, can you provide a verse or hadith for that? Can you give me a hadith for that, please? Have the imams told us we need to do this? And it's interesting, of course, because although this is said, no human being can actually live on only literally translating the Quran and hadith. Okay. There's no way you can live your life with that. But when you say something and you're trying to say this is the right thing to do, this is your religious obligation, they say, oh, it's got to be found in the Quran. See, it comes from that mentality that the hereafter, religion has nothing to do with this world. And if it's something that has to do with religion, you're attributing to the religion, then it's got to be something that you find a hadith that can very clearly be mentioned. The wording is such, attend the protests in downtown Dallas on this day of the month of Ramadan. Okay. Some people really think that they need to do that. Some people think, another example, government during the time of the occultation. Okay. You say, look, government is a necessity. We have to govern our own affairs. And we have got to have the most knowledgeable, the most pious, the best person fit for the job is someone that knows what direction people need to take. God has spoken those words, and a person who knows that needs to be the one that leads this, takes the lead on it, helps people move in the right direction, and govern their own affairs. Some people say, can you give me a hadith? You say this hadith, the other hadith, al-ulama, warathatul anbiya, this hadith, that hadith, this proof, that proof. Like, no, this hadith doesn't say I am making this faqih, this jurist, to be the one that is supposed to rule during the time of the major occultation. You say, look, the imam of the time has said, وَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعَ فَارْجِعُوا فِيهَا إِلَى رُوَاتَ حَدِيثِنَا. When things happen, the hadith literally says this, when things happen in your affairs, refer to the ones who know our hadith. Scholars, fuqaha, jurists. People say, look, it doesn't say literally there that you set up government and the leader of that government is going to be a faqih. It's not there. Some of the ulama have responded very interestingly. You have, because completing this example, some of the ulama have looked at those ahadith and said, look, it's pretty clear. The imam is saying, Inni ja'altuhu alaykum hakima. I have made him your ruler. They say it's very clear. Some of the others are like, I'm not too sure about that. Mirza Jawad al-Tabrizi, may Allah bless his soul, a student of Ayatollah Khoi, in his book, a hashiya, a commentary or his views on a book known as Al-Makasib by Sheikh Al-Ansari, and the discussion of Ulayatul Faqih, he goes over all the ahadith, all the verses, and he says that these verses, these ahadith are not clearly, in my view, I don't understand them to be clearly indicating that we need to set up a government and that the ruler, the one who's supposed to be leading that government, is a jurist. Then he asks a question himself. He says, if anyone asks us, then what about government during the time of the major occultation? He says, our response would be that this matter is so clear that the imams didn't even have to tell us. God has given you an intellect. Just use your intellect. Can you live without a government? Obviously not. Should you have someone that knows what direction government should take? God has said it should take. Should you have someone like that rule? Or someone who doesn't know, so obviously someone who knows that. Should you have someone that knows it and goes against it? Someone who's a fasiq, someone who is not just? So, you know, obviously you want someone that is implementing those laws himself in his own life. Otherwise, they're the most dangerous on the most dangerous person on the face of the earth. Should they be someone who has the courage and the guts to stand in the face of kuffar who want to pressure the Muslims from developing technologies and prevent them from that? So, you know, obviously you want someone who has the bravery of doing that. Someone who has management skills or someone who doesn't have management skills. Someone who has been in the Hausa for 60 years, doesn't know how to work with people, or someone who's worked with people, managed activities, led things. So obviously someone who knows how to do that, someone who knows how to manage, someone who's brave, someone who is pious, someone who knows this, that, all of these various qualities. Use your intellect. Here's Jawad Tabrizi says this. Look, God has given you an intellect. This is only an example. God has given you an intellect. Sometimes when you say the path of the Ahlul Bayt, people think that we mean, oh, you need to have a word there, government. The Ahlul Bayt said, look, you have that intellect. The intellect is a divine messenger. Right. Atul Jawadi Amri has an interesting explanation of one of the ulama. He says, look, divine teachings, guidance that comes from God is divided into two chapters.